We're going to be in Matthew 5 today. We're going to continue in our series called Happy-ish. Bill has led off the first 2 weeks, and we've talked about how being happy is, in the way that the world tells us to chase it, is not sustainable. If we chase success, notoriety, relationships, whatever it is, if we chase those things, like it may be for a season, it may keep us happy, but the sustainability of that is just not, that's not going to make us happy all of the time. We're not going to find joy all of the time in things. There's only one place to find sustaining joy and happiness, and that is in the person of Jesus Christ, who makes a way for us to have a relationship with God. And so in this series, we've been talking about being happy-ish. We're going to continue in that today. Let's pray, and then we'll jump right in. God, thank you for you. I thank you that, God, that you've given us so much. You've given us your Son. You allowed for your Son to go to the cross on our behalf and to take our sin and our shame and to ransom us, to make us right with you, God. And so may those of us who understand that, may we never forget it, and may we live by it. And for those of us who have yet to give over to the understanding of that, God, would you awaken something in our heart and minds that we would do so. God, that we would see that your love is for us and that there is no love like yours. Not in all of the world. We could search for our entire lives and we would never find a love that is quite like yours. And so may, for those of us who have yet to give our lives to that, may we do that, Lord, today. God, I'm so humbled by the fact that you use me at all, but you use me in the way to speak to people about you. And so, God, would you allow for me to do that today? Would they not be my words, but would they be yours? God, anything in our lives that doesn't match what your word says, God, may we not do away with your word, but may we do away with a thing in our lives that doesn't look like you or look like your word. God, then may that be true forever and always. Speak to every heart in this room, please, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 5, verse 7 through 9 is where we'll be today. Verse 7 says this: "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Just real quick, being merciful is a really big deal to God. It shows compassion to people, forgiveness to people, and we see the example of God doing that for us in Jesus. He's extremely merciful to us because what we were owed, we have not been given. What we were owed was an eternity away from God. What we have been given is a chance to be made right with God through Jesus and Jesus alone. And so it says, "Be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Verse 8 says this. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I know this to be true about my heart and in conversations that I've had with many of you and other people. I know it to be true about y'all's too. Our hearts outside of God are not good. They're actually disgusting or really bad. It's not a good place to be, but because of God and a relationship with God and what he does to cleanse our heart and to give us a new standing with God, we now have a pure heart. Now, for a lot of us, for all of us, it's a daily thing that God has to purify that heart, right? You know, we wake up, you know, we have the new mercies of the Lord, but, you know, maybe in the middle of the day we do something that we shouldn't, or something that's gotten to our heart that shouldn't be there, and we have to ask for God to renew our heart. Blessed are the pure at heart, for they shall see God. Verse 9 is where we will be for the majority of the message, for the rest of the message. And if I'm honest with you, getting this assignment when we did our series planning, it was just like, man, I feel like honestly, I feel like I've been talking about this for a lot of years, and I'm really passionate about it. But I want for you to hear me, not as somebody who is done growing in anything, but and who is talking at you, but somebody who is sitting beside you and needing to be better at this as God has called us to. But verse 9 says this: "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. My dad is a phenomenal peacemaker. Growing up, I got a lot of peacemaking opportunities to see. I have an older sister. She's about 3 years older than I am. And so I would say probably around the time that I was 10 years old and she was 13, They don't have these anymore, or maybe they still do have landlines, but I don't have one. But if you have one, you should probably get rid of it. But like on our particular landline, like you could push mute on, like she could be on the phone, I could pick up the phone and push mute, and she would have no idea, right? And so that is where like I found out like all of the stuff that she was doing that she wasn't supposed to be doing, and then I held it against her, like any good young brother would do. And so she would walk out of her room, and I'd be like, "Hey, what are you doing this weekend?" She'd be like, "Nothing." I'd be like, "Yeah, you are, and I already know it. So this is what you're gonna do for me." She didn't really receive that well. It wasn't like, "Oh, okay, well, let me do all your laundry." It was like, "No, I'm gonna beat you up, and you're not gonna tell anybody." And then we would just begin to yell at each other. Now, when my mom was home, we would keep yelling. I love my mom, but there was a certain point in time where, like, honestly, I just stopped kind of being afraid of her because I knew, like, in 30 seconds, she was gonna forgive me. She was gonna be like, "Oh, it's my baby." She would just forgive me. That's just the relationship that we had. Now, my dad, on the other hand, was really good at making peace, as I said. Now, he would make peace in a bunch of different ways, but he was pretty direct with it, and it was something that once you felt the peace, you didn't want to continue to experience it again and again. And so, as he made peace with us, my sister and I kind of decided, you know what? Maybe when he's at home, we just act like we love each other, and that would be peaceful. We won't even have to worry about it. And so my dad was a phenomenal peacemaker. He still is today. He still can sternly sit me down and have a conversation with me. I know that peacemaking is important. I think when I've read this in the past, and when I think about Jesus, honestly, and him speaking and saying, "Blessed are the peacemakers," I'm big on definitions. If you've heard me teach before, our students probably are thinking, "Yeah, you always give us, you know, definitions of things that we know already." But I think it's important to establish certain words. And so when it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers," let's look at the word "make." It says to form something by putting parts together or combining substances, construct or create. And a peacemaker is a person who brings about peace, especially by reconciling adversaries. What is a peacemaker? It's somebody not who sits on the side and hopes somebody else stands up and does something. Not somebody who will deal with the forming of something else and let everybody else construct it, but it's somebody who says, "Listen, like, I'm going to come in and I'm going to be active in this. I'm going to make peace. I'm going to find this area and I'm going to go in and I'm going to make peace." And when we see Jesus, a lot of the times, I know for me and even in conversations that I had growing up, you know, we see Jesus as just a really passive man when he was on earth. But that couldn't be further from the truth. When Jesus came, he was a man who came to make peace. Thankfully, to make peace with us, with God, to give us a relationship with God, he made peace with God on our behalf because we could have never done that. And all that we tried, our sins, we would have still fallen short, but Jesus came perfect and perfectly made peace with God. But not just peace with God, but peace with man, realizing that like there was a bunch of people around him that were overlooked or stepped over or stepped on and looked and tossed to the side. And Jesus says, "No, no, 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 no. Those are people that I love, and so you will not do that to them. We will bring them into the fold. They matter to God and they matter to me." And so we see this example of Jesus as a peacemaker. And I know for me, it's extremely important to see that and to understand what is a peacemaker. We see Jesus being that. And then the next question that I had for myself is, who are the peacemakers today? Now, I was talking to my wife about this message and she wanted to remind me that, you know, peacemaking is a part of all different relationships, a part of all different things and circumstances. It's important to make peace in the home. I know for some people here, or some of us here, or some of us online or whatever, like something is going on in our relationship at home, maybe a spouse, and we haven't really uncovered it. We've just kind of dealt with it and it's been bothering us. But, you know, maybe for some of us, we need to speak that thing out loud and make peace because it's tearing our marriage up or tearing our relationships up, our friendships up, or whatever it is. And we need to be bold enough to make peace. For some of us, it's a student who has two friends who are at each other's throat because of a boy or a girl or whatever it is, and they're about to throw their friendship away. But God is saying, "Hey, listen, that relationship it's not worth, or you shouldn't let it just go by the wayside. You should pick it up. You should be there to make peace. You should be there to encourage, to love, to pour into." But today, I want to talk to you about just kind of my story. I've talked a little bit about this before. And I've never really kind of opened up completely, and I don't know, we don't have a ton of time today, and so I don't know how much we'll get into it, but the last 4 years have been, I was going to say the last 4 years have been tough, and they have, but the years before that were even harder. Just to let you in on what the Lord has been doing in my life, over the last 4 years, there's been some things that have happened that I've no longer just been like passively peaceful about. For the years before that, I was very passive in my peace. I was a part of a church or, you know, on staff at a church and in leadership or whatever it was, volunteering and giving my time, and there was things that were happening and nobody was saying anything about what was happening in the world. It was just all of us just kind of saying, like putting our head down and saying, God's got it. Putting our head down and saying, God's got it. And knowing that people were hurting and we were saying nothing. Knowing that I was hurting and people were saying nothing. And I'm not talking about like it hurt my feelings. I'm talking about like real hurt. Like I'm not a person that like gets super emotional all the time, but there would just be times where I would sit in my room by myself and just cry and just think like, man, nobody cares. Nobody's seeing what's going on. Where is everybody? Wondering, I'm looking for peacemakers. I'm looking for them. I'm in the body of Christ and I'm looking for peacemakers. And I keep asking God, God, who are the peacemakers? Where are the peacemakers? And I was reminded that it was an obligation of mine as a believer in Jesus. But here and in so many other places in the scriptures, Jesus commands us and obligates us to love people well and to go out and to make peace, not to be passive with things, not to say, hey, if I just sit on the sidelines and I just root people on or I just kind of do something. No. God is saying, make peace. Go in and make peace. Go in and raise your voice. Go in and do something. And he was speaking to me. And I was in a church where I kept asking people, when are people going to stand up and say something? When are people going to actually care about what's going on, actually care about women who are going through things that they don't need to be going through inside the church and outside? Who's going to start speaking up for African Americans who feel like they can never walk into this church because they don't feel like you care? Who's going to say something about people in other nations that can't come in and we treat them like we don't want anything to do with them? Who's going to speak up for those people? Because Jesus would. And I remember being so angry inside and so just desperate for somebody to speak up. I remember being so tired of going to church and just feeling like no one was doing anything. And then I remember the Lord saying, Wayne, you're not doing anything either. Stirring up in you, you're not doing anything with it. You're just sitting there. And I just remember thinking to myself, man, I'm not going to be quiet anymore. And the reality is that it has cost me much. All of the people who are sitting here that are thinking like, man, I don't want to do it because I know that it's going to cost something. I know that God is telling me to. I know that we've been talking about this in church. You know, every once in a while we bring this up, and every single time I sit in my chair and I'm like, yeah, but like that's going to cost me a relationship, or that's going to cost me a friendship, or that may cost me my job. But the reality is that I didn't care anymore what it was going to cost me. And it cost me a lot. It cost me friendships, or at least those that I thought were friendships. It's cost me certain things, certain influence, certain ability to speak in certain rooms. It cost me those things. But I remember just thinking, like, this is what Jesus would do. And then I just remember seeing other people that I looked up to finally just awaken to the things and say, you know what? I'm not going to be quiet anymore. I'm going to speak up. There's a hip-hop artist who's a Christian, and his name is Lecrae. And Lecrae does some music and some different, like, he does a lot of Christian hip-hop, and then he does some other stuff too, but he spoke at a church a couple weeks ago, it may have been last week, and he just talked about like his personal story of going through kind of the same thing that I went through and just like wrestling with the fact he walked into some deep depression and anxiety because he was quiet for so long. He was quiet for so long, and he just felt like he couldn't do it anymore, and so he finally spoke up. He finally said, I'm going to be a peacemaker. I'm going to speak up. I'm not just going to just think about it on my own or talk to my circle about it, but I'm going to use my influence, the platform that I have, and I'm going to step up, and I'm going to say something. And when he said something, he lost like hundreds of thousands of followers on social media. People stopped buying his music. People started, and that stuff, he said, really doesn't matter. But then people started threatening his family. He started getting death threats on his family. People started saying things to him and about him. People inside the church started throwing stones at him, saying things to him because he said, you know what? Like, Peacemaking is not just sitting here and thinking it's going to get better one day. Peacemaking is me acting like Jesus and going and abruptly meeting it and saying, you know what? This isn't okay. It's not okay. It's not okay to treat people like that or to dismiss people who are marginalized. It's not okay. It's not what Jesus would call us to. It's not what he did. So I'm not going to do it anymore. And he stopped apologizing for it. And he said, listen, I don't care what I lose. I don't care what happens to me, but I will speak up for people. And I'm in the same boat now. Over the last 4 years, it's what I've done. And I've lost some things. But I can tell you that I would much rather be in the place where I am more comfortable with myself today than I was 4 years ago. I don't feel like I have to keep anything. I don't have all of the answers. I'll tell you I don't know. I'll tell you I'm looking into it. I'm researching. I'm asking questions. There's a lot that I don't know. But listen, I will no longer be quiet. I love people. I love everyone in this room. But I will stand on the side of peacemaking no matter what. I believe that it's what God has called us to. Question today is, where do you stand on the side of peace? Just honestly wrestle with that today. I think for a lot of us, maybe you were like me 4 years ago, where you would watch the news and you would just turn it off really quick when something bad happened because you're like, this isn't right, but I can't do anything about it, so just turn it off. And then you would hope in your heart that it would just go away or it would get better, but you would do nothing about it. That's where I was. Honestly, that's where I was. I didn't know what to do, so I just turned it off and I just was like, hey, it's going to get better. And the whole time God was like, it can only get better if my children stand up, if my people stand up, if the bride of Christ would wake up and do something. That's the only way it's going to get better. Maybe some of you are like me or like me then, or maybe some of you are, you don't know where you stand on peace, or you think maybe the people who are trying to make peace are being too loud. And hear me on this. I love you. I think that you're wrong. I think that peace is definitely worth fighting for. And those people who feel the unrest of peace, they need the body of Christ to step up. Desperately, they need that. And if you don't think that it's worthy for people to stand up and say something, I'm asking you to really like seek God on this. Not just what you think, but ask the Lord where he would have you stand on this. I wrote a blog a year ago, and I don't do that very often. That was actually the only time that I've ever done it. And so I wrote a blog a year ago. And I didn't want to post it because I was afraid of the backlash. And then finally, I was just like, listen, I don't care. Just post it. The blog post is on Matthew 25, the last 14 verses, I believe, and just talking about how a king would come and he would separate the sheep and the goats. And the sheep were these people who had done these things right. They had come and they had visited him when he had needed them. He had fed them. They had given them the clothes. He had given them something to drink. And then the goats were people who literally did nothing, but thought that they were in good standing with the king. Those who really, literally just sat down and said, I'm good. And the king said to these on this side, the ones who did the work, he said, and enter into the kingdom with me. And to those who did nothing, he said, I have never known you. Go away from me. And I felt compelled to write this because I felt like over the last 10 years, and maybe just in that I've been paying attention, I have been a part of both groups. I've been a part of the group that has done nothing, that has seen the king or seen someone in need and stepped over them or gone out of my way around them. But something has awakened in me that says, listen, I will never, in the strength that God has given me, I will never walk past somebody again. I will never look over them again and say that that person is not worthy of me stepping up and interceding and making peace on their behalf. I will never keep my voice silent again because they are in need and I am in need and we are in need. So no longer will I just sit idly by. No longer will I be in this group, but I will join in this group. And I want to read you why, and we've read it already, but the end of verse 9 says, "For they shall be called the sons of God. For they shall be called the sons and daughters of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." I told you how important it is to me, or how much I enjoy or love my dad. My dad gave his life to the Lord when I was 11, and I gave my life to the Lord like 6 months after, and not just in because he did it, but because he did it, I started to pay attention, and I heard the gospel, and I believed and trusted the gospel for me, for myself. And so, like, I just always looked up to him. He's a phenomenal man of God. He loves people well. He serves people well. One of the things that I love when people say to me is, man, that reminds me of my dad. That thing that reminds me of your dad. The thing you did for me, the way that you did that, that reminds me of your dad. Because they mean it as like a badge of honor. They're saying, look, that's something good in you that looks like your dad. Verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And the reality is I think that we, there may be very few places where we would look more like God to the world when the bride of Christ steps up and makes peace. When the bride of Christ no longer sits by and says, this is comfortable for me, but actually gets up in the face of things and says, listen, like, that's not what God would call us to. That's not the peacemaking thing that God would call us to. So here it is. And I want to be guilty of that. As a believer in Jesus Christ, I want nothing more than to look like my father. And everybody here has placed their faith in Jesus. Let's wrestle with what it means for us to make peace. Not just in the peace that is around us, but as much peace as we can for all people, because all people matter to God. Let our deep desire be to look like our Father. God, thank you for you. God, thank you that you call us to be merciful. You don't call us to do anything that you haven't shown us how to do it. You have been merciful to us, Lord. You provide mercy on a consistent, on a daily, on every second basis, Lord. You show us mercy. So God, give us the strength to be merciful. Lord, as you have purified our heart, would you continue to do so on a daily basis? Would you continue to rid our flesh of us? And would we continue to have more of you in our lives? God, for me personally, thank you for awakening the desire to make peace around 4 years ago in my life. God, I hate the things that had to happen for me to see it and to not be okay with it and to move towards the things of you. But I'm thankful, God. I'm thankful that you have revealed to us that the call of the body of Christ is to not do what makes us comfortable, but what brings peace, what makes peace in this world, what brings peace to all people, no matter if they look like us or not, what brings peace in the situations that are hard, in situations that would cost us something, God. Would you give us the desire and the strength to not weigh our relationships and our friend and our family more than what the command and the obligation that you have given us. To be people who are willing to lose whatever it is to make sure that peace is attainable for those who need it, those who live without it. God, work in each of us. Lord, today let nothing that I said, let nothing that was of me leave this room, but let everything that was of you, let it work in our hearts, God. Let it transform each heart in this room. That we would leave and we would walk daily looking more like our Father. That we would be called the children of God. May it be so for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name.